a day of silence for the most part from the Patriots as they will get back to work on Wednesday. The bleeding is still there from what happened over the weekend against the Miami Dolphins. But this weekend with Saturday football, we got Thursday, Saturday football, and the Patriots play on Sunday and in Pittsburgh. Now, where is the money? Where is the money? I always like to look at the money. Now, the Steelers have lost three in a row. Patriots have a losing record on the road because of that game in Miami. The game opened, the Patriots favored by 1.5, and the line has stayed the same. So the Patriots, it's still early in the week. Most of the money doesn't come in until the end of the week, but the Patriots are still favored by 1.5. The early money is all New England money. Nobody, in comparison to the Steelers, no one's betting on the Steelers. The Patriots are getting the majority of the early money, but it's a small amount. Much more will come in later in the week. But I wanted to talk about the Patriots in general right now and where they're at. Bill Belichick, his job this week is to, well, not restore order, because it's not like the Patriots have completely fallen apart here, but the fallout from Kenyon Drake's video game cheat code final play in Miami, the reports of doom and gloom around the Patriots this week as they get ready to take on the Steelers. I wanted to get into the kind of where the Patriots are at this point. And the question, I guess we'll frame it this way, right? The state of the Patriots, how much trouble are the Patriots in, right? I mean, you look at their overall record, you say, well, they're still tracking to win, what, minimum of 11 games. Even if they were to stumble this weekend, the Patriots, if they were to lose to the Steelers, they'd be 9-5, and they got a couple of cupcakes to close out the regular season. But my thoughts on the Patriots, you've got the melodrama, the orange, and you also have Mr. Universe. And we will connect all these things. Now, it has been very unique this year, unpatriot-like this year, because the Patriots have been two totally different teams. It's like they've picked up this bipolar personality. And you had the early season Patriots that did not have Julian Edelman. All right, went through all that. They didn't have the explosive weapons in the passing game. And it was a struggle. It was a struggle for the Patriots out of the gates. They did beat the Tennessee Titans in week one, but you look at those back-to-back road games to Jacksonville and the Lions, they looked terrible in those games. They ended up making the trade for Josh Gordon. The offense got better. They got Edelman back. But at home, the Patriots are a championship team. That is 6-0 team, championship team. On the road, they have been chumps, right? They've been chumps. Even if they'd won the game in Miami, the Patriots they've got this game in Pittsburgh, their final road game. They would have been 4-3 if they'd won the game. They have a 3-4 record, a losing record on the road. We mentioned losses to teams that are second rate, like Jacksonville and the Lions, and also losing to middle of the road teams in Miami and Tennessee. And so this is a polar opposite situation. You know this if you followed the season, which I know you have, but it's jaw-dropping when you look at the difference between the Patriots at home and the Patriots on the road. When Tom Brady is taking the field at home, the Patriots have ended up winning by an average of 13.8 points per game. That is the third best scoring margin at home in the NFL. They're number three in the entire NFL, the Patriots, margin of victory at home, and that includes a home schedule which has not been a bunch of pushovers. And the easiest games you could argue on the schedule for the Patriots at home are still yet to be played. The game against Buffalo and then the game with the Jets to close out the regular season. The Patriots have beaten three teams that are currently leading their division. The Patriots have won against this year. Two of those games at home. They did have the Chicago win on the road, but the signature wins against the Texans, which is kind of early. It's too early in the season. I don't think the Texans are that good. And then you also have Kansas City, which was on that list of home wins. On the road, the Patriots have been outscored. The margins are thin. They've been outscored by about 2 points a game, and that includes, see, that number is a little misleading, right? Because you've got the blowout win over Buffalo, which was they won by 19 points in that game, so that kind of shifted everything around. That changed things, and they beat the Jets by a couple of touchdowns back in week number 12. So anyway, the point is the Patriots are 15th in scoring margin on the road, and they are also third at home. So anyway, it's a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde melodrama, which has been playing out. And what does it all mean? It's all prologue. All of this is prologue. It doesn't matter if the Patriots were sitting here as they have done in the past years ago when they had that unbeaten season, didn't help them. It's not like the Patriots, when they got to the Super Bowl, started the game with a 3-touchdown lead. Just like this Patriot team, when they get to the playoffs, it's not like they're going to be down by a field goal when they take the field because they lost a game to the Dolphins on the final play of the game in early December. All right, now, part B of this, as we chat here on Sports Radio WEI, despite the issues with personnel at the end of the game by Bill Belichick, and he admitted to that, right? Admitted to that. The Gronktastic mistake. Tom Brady also, even though he did not have the big interception, he had some brain farts. There were some poor decisions, like not knowing how many timeouts there were and all that. There were some mistakes that Brady made in this game. But New England still controls their destiny. They can still be a top two seed. Number one is not out of play. But to get the number one seed, Kansas City would have to jump, do a belly whopper into the poop train for that to happen. I mean, being realistic here, if you look at the playoff picture in the AFC, the Chiefs are the number one team. They, even though the tiebreaker goes to the Patriots, the way this shakes down, the Patriots have two more losses. There's only three games to play. The Chiefs now, the next two games, if the Chiefs were to go out and wet the bed against the Chargers and then come back, now they'll have a long period of time because they have the Thursday game, then they come back the following week and play Seattle in week 16. I mean, those are losable games for Kansas City. Those are games they could certainly lose, but you got to think they would beat the Chargers this week, and then that wraps up, for all intents and purposes, the number one seed, because the Chiefs play the Raiders at the end of the year in week 17, which is a gimme. How about the fact, do you see that story tonight? That the Raiders, this is likely their last year in Oakland. There was a lawsuit that's about to be filed by the city of Oakland, and the Raiders, that's it. They're going to go somewhere else. They're going to be without a home. They're going to go to either San Antonio, San Diego, St. Louis, somewhere like that. That's a wild story in the NFL. And the Raiders are going to end up having to write a massive check to the taxpayers in Oakland. But that's a different story. Anyway, getting back on focus here. So the Patriots are looking at likely the number two seed. But to get the number two seed, they have to avoid finishing with a worse record than the Texans. There will be a quiz on this. So the Patriots have the same record as the Texans right now, and there's no legit danger of losing, you would think, at home to Buffalo or the Jets. And the Texans have a bunch of cupcakes, but they are on the road for two of their final three games. They play at the Jets and at the Eagles. And my hypothesis on the Eagles is that they're a bunch of frauds, or the Texans, rather, is they're a bunch of frauds, right? So if I'm correct on that they're a paper tiger, if you will, then it is certainly possible that the Texans can go out and have an old stink bomb on the road and lose, but you don't want to bet on that. You don't want to depend on that if you're the Patriots. So if you just take care of business, finish with the same record, the Patriots have the tiebreaker, they're guaranteed no worse than the number two seed in the AFC. So, and as far as the mindset of the Patriots, I've seen these deep intellectual pieces being written about the Patriots and all that. It's all a bunch of malarkey. It's all a bunch of malarkey. And I'll tell you why. The first rule, and you follow this over the years, the first rule of the supposed Patriot way is you do not discuss losses, right? You don't talk about losses in the media. You don't talk about players making mistakes or coaches making mistakes. You don't do that. That's why it was so odd last year in the Super Bowl when players went on the record about Malcolm Butler not playing. There were guys that made statements that were on the record. But that's not how it goes usually, right? There's no excuses. Do your job. And the old line, which I guess is not an old line, but it's been used from time to time, it's impossible to unpeel an orange. Right? Once you unpeel the orange, you can't get it back. And so like politicians, you never admit a setback. You never admit a mistake. And so the Patriots, I see these stories about the mindset of the Patriots, like they have some inside, intimate knowledge here. They do not show public remorse. There's no regret. I haven't seen it. Maybe I'm missing out. Maybe I'm living in a parallel universe here, but I haven't seen it. At least the public position. Now, privately, I would think based on human nature, right, that privately I am sure that they are irritated and troubled by blowing the game the way they did on a trick lateral. It's demoralizing. It's absolutely demoralizing. The way that Kenyon Drake sliced up Patriot players, some of those guys that fell down and didn't get back up to make plays, it's very odd that a Patriot team would have guys that do that at the end of the game. Now, they just assumed, as it usually happens, we've seen a truckload of plays like that, and they always end with the game ending, you know, 99.9% of the time, and the players don't have to get up because there's some other player there that makes the tackle. But the final point here, now sizing up the Patriots. Talent-wise, this is my argument. Talent-wise, they are not going to win a contest, like a beauty contest. This is not a roster filled with a bunch of guys that are going to win the old Mr. Universe contest, right? I think that's still a thing. And so they have to do it the way they've been doing it in the past year. And it's on display here that the Belichick mantra of outwitting the opposition, outlasting them, outplaying them, the O's, right? The three O's, outwit, outplay, outlast. That's the whole thing that the Patriots are trying to sell with Belichick here. You adapt to the opponent. You attack their weaknesses, which all teams try to do, but the Patriots have been better at it. They got outwitted by Kenyon Drake. They got outwitted on the final play. And it has been more red meat for the critics. I mean, the Patriots, when they lose a game like that, which doesn't happen very often, there is an intense euphoria that goes around. It's like, it's the old German word. There's no word in English for it. Schadenfreude. Right? Now, I love Schadenfreude. I have made a life out of dabbling in Schadenfreude, but there are so many people who work in the media in the NFL that are taking extra joy and pleasure from Bill Belichick having to wear a dunce cap for having Gronk in the game on the final play, and even turning this into a indictment or a referendum, rather, on Tom Brady. And it's true. Hate is a more powerful emotion than love. People don't like to hear that, but that's a reality. So the only way to correct that is to come out and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are having their own palace intrigue, their own drama going on in Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger, what happened against the Raiders last week. And I understand Mike Tomlin has changed his story. He told the reporters one thing after the game. He got killed for it on why Roethlisberger didn't come back into the game sooner against the Raiders. Tomlin got roasted for that. He was annoyed. He was kind of salty, and he came back and changed the story. So what is it, the initial story or the story that he changed to? Who knows? All right, we're hanging out. We'll take your phone calls. If you would like to be part, and take your phone calls here. The lines are open for business. The number, 617-779-7937. That's 617-779-7937. Also on Twitter, at Ben Maller. This is a John Anderson production. And many people wanting to know, will we hear from Blair in Maine? And producer John, has Blair checked in yet?
I have not heard from him. Producer before me said he called around 8:30 to see who was on tonight.
So he did. So then he found out I was on, and then he didn't. Now he hasn't called in. You think he passed out?
I don't know, to be honest with you. We had a theory, you and I, floating around earlier, that he was making a porn run tomorrow and might be tailgating. Yeah. But I don't know. Unless he's just he's pro your guy down at pro Weed Man. And he's mad at you or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he's unsettled because Weed Man he's left me behind. Yeah. Or it's possible that Blair just had a little too much bubbly. He's been imbibing quite a bit here lately. I'm worried about Blair. Like he's got that headache thing, and there's always something going on. Does he follow you on Twitter, John? He's on Twitter,
Blair. No, I was only aware. Unless he does follow me and his name is just not even close to Blair on Twitter, then.
Yes, it's not. It's like, I forget what it is. I think it's like Football One or something like that. I forget exactly what it is, but it's not Blair from Maine.
All right, then he might.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably does. He probably does. All right. Mr. Wonderful writes in. He says, Ben, I thought Belichick's motto was cheat in any way possible to win. Yeah. Mr. Wonderful, why don't you go and smother up or smother up? Why don't you go cuddle up with your LeBron James stuffed animal that you have there and your LeBron James fathead, all right? You schmuck. Tripp writes in. He says, how about this scenario? The Patriots win out. The Chiefs lose to the Chargers and the Seahawks, beat the Raiders. The Chargers win out, and the Chargers are the number one seed and the Patriots are the number two seed. Well, if you really want to mess with the NFL marketing department, if you would like to screw with the mind of the NFL marketing department, have a scenario where the Chargers, who have no fan base, right? No fan base, the Chargers end up somehow going on a run in the playoffs. And there will be people at the league office who you talk about needing medication, needing some meds and a therapist. If that happens, yeah. This ruins all the arguments. Well, you got to have a big fan base. You know, fans are a big part of it. I did a rant about this a couple weeks ago, but the LA Chargers have the smallest fan base in the NFL, and yet they have stacked up all of these wins. They have this ridiculous record, and every time they play a game, either the stadium's empty in Carson, California, or it is filled with people wearing colors of the other team. Like they played the Bengals this past weekend. There weren't a lot of Bengal fans, I guess, in L.A. So the stadium was like pretty much empty. There were a lot of empty seats and all that. But when they played, you look at the past. They go down the list here. The Broncos, they play every year in the division. The stadium's filled with Bronco fans. The Raiders is like another home game for the Raiders when they come in. Kansas City, the stadium was bright red at the start of the year. But you look at the Chargers here. That's not out of the realm of possibility. The Chargers have the Chiefs, Ravens at home, which is not a home game, and the Broncos to close it out. It certainly win all three of those games. Absolutely. All right. Again, we'll take your calls 617-779-7937. You can be part of this and blame it on the X-ray. Blame it on the X-ray. We'll get to that. We'll take your calls. We'll do it next. All right, back to it we go. Blame it on the X-ray. We'll get to that coming up in a moment. What does that even mean? We'll get to that. It's decent. It's pretty good. Who else do we have? We have a number of people on the Maller militia checking. And we are on Twitter, at Ben Maller, if you'd like to be part. Let's go to the phones, though, right now. My guy, I don't want to make him wait that long because he's a loyal P1, Wayne in Southie. My guy, Wayne.
Mal, you know I took a punch in the gut on that one, buddy. That was horrible. That was absolutely... Hey, Belichick, I'm glad, though. Did you see the character of Brady and Belichick, though? That's what I love about them, Mal. They laughed. Belichick said, hey, he took the blame. He came at 4 o'clock on EEI radio and said that it was his fault. And then at 8 o'clock, Brady and Jim Gray said, he told Jim Gray asked him, he kept, nudging him, and then Brady said, And no, it was all my fault. He said I should have, you know what I mean? So they both took the blame, you know what I mean? When it was not, it was just an anomaly. A one in a million chance. They, you know.
No, Wayne, listen to me. Wayne.
To lose. Miami had nothing to lose but win. Think about that.
Hold on a sec, Wayne. I shouldn't have been that close anyway. You know that, Wayne. That was a bad job by the Patriots. The game should not have been that close.
How many points? 4 points? Brady missed three.
I understand. But what would I want to take me into Wayne in Southie's world? Tell you, where are you watching the game? Are you at home? Or are you at?
I watch on 1 o'clock games because I go to the gym right afterwards. I usually leave.
All right, so you're watching the game. So Wayne's watching the game at home.
I was dressed to go to the game, and it was the last play. You know, things. I'm like, they got this. Everybody said that, man. Well, you tell me what. I know that Miami's going to still win. I'll tell you one thing, Mal. They're cursed. Hey, I even admit it now. They are cursed down there.
Yeah, they are. They love Miami, man.
To do what more did Brady and Gronk have? Poor Gronk almost left in a stretcher.
Yeah, he looked like he needed a stretcher at the end of that play.
Well, do you see that hit in the small of his back, perfectly lined up? I'm telling you, I never seen a guy. I love Patriot, but I never seen people take their anger out on Gronk the way they do. Like he's the, you know what I mean? Like if you hit him, you're gonna be known. You know what I mean? Like, cause he that poor guy, man. They always go for his knees too. You ever notice that, Mal?
Well, he's got these giant knee braces on, though.
You know their excuses? They what? Say we can't tackle him up high because he's too big. Well, then get bigger guy. What do you mean?
What are you supposed to? How do you sign bigger guys, Wayne? What do you do for that? What's
Roger Goodell? Oh, it's against the Patriots. Yeah, that's the rule. Tell him that's the rule. Yeah.
This reminds me.
What? Super Bowl come down. The referee said, "What? What did he say? He's gonna win a third Super Bowl?" No, I can't allow that. That's his foot was in. What do you mean his foot was in? I'm the commissioner here. Do you think he wanted Brady to win 3 out of 4, Mala?
Wait, what do you get? What are you getting at, Wayne?
I'm talking about that Super Bowl that was given to Philadelphia out of pure. We felt so bad for them.
you still haven't gotten over what happened last year.
You do me one favor. You tell me what has changed from that team to this year, and they even got their Super Bowl Carson Wentz back, who was horrible. They should have stayed with Bolt. They might be in another Super Bowl.
All right. I love you, Wayne. Calm down. Listen, the Eagles are having fun. Aren't you excited they're having fun in Philadelphia, losing every week?
No, like that, man. I don't like seeing, you know what I mean? They're sad. That's what they are. Just like my friend who was, he's a big, remember I told you my buddy that's always with me?
Okay. Yeah.
He has the. This is how screwed up he is. His football team is the Philadelphia Eagles. His baseball team is the Yankees. His hockey team is the Boston Bruins. And then his basketball team is the Cleveland Cavaliers. This kid's all over the place.
What are you just randomly? How old a guy is this, Wayne? How old a guy?
He's 33, Mala. No, he was born in New York, but he only lived in New York for like 2 years, and then he came to Boston. So he's been here 31 years. So
he just randomly picked bandwagons. Is that how he did? He's like,
I have no idea what the nut did. I told him. That's the most craziest thing. Hey, he's born on my birthday, Mala. That's what blew me away. He's born. Not many people are born on March 17th that are Spanish that I have ever met.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot, just that you haven't met them, Wayne. I mean, every March 17th, there's a bunch of people who are of Spanish descent that are born that day, Wayne. Come on.
What's the rationale behind that?
You want to be laughing at the place where I get my chicken, garden and salad all the time. Muhammad, the guy who works there, he's born on my birthday, born in the same year, and almost 2 hours right ahead of me, dude. I almost fell over. I said, you came out, and then I came out.
Now you got to keep going to that restaurant, Wayne, because you guys are like, you're brothers from a different mother.
Mallet, I get the best grilled chicken salad you ever seen with the banana peppers cut. Oh, man, I'm very picky with my food, Mallet. I ain't got much. I got my hats, my gym, and my, you know what I mean?
Are you a foodie, Wayne? You're a foodie, aren't you? You're a foodie.
No. I'm 178 pounds solid, Mal. What are you talking about? I look like Bruce Lee right now. I'm so ripped. I just came in from the gym. I've been hitting the gym hard, dude, with all my anger. After seeing that, no, seriously, Mal, I was getting dressed to go to the gym, right? And then I heard commotion going on. I goes, what is going on? The game should be over. And I seen the guy, and I go, what are you doing? And I think, and then Belichick said they thought it was going to be a jump ball, Mal. They said they thought he was going to go deep with the jump ball. That's why they had Gronk out there. But you should never have Gronk out there.
Yeah, of course.
Dude, Mal, how many people, do you really think Gase thought that was going to work? Or anybody on Miami thought that was going to work? until it
No,
worked.
No, of course not. It wasn't supposed to work.
Get the Patriots. We've been planning this for 16 seconds. We've been practicing this for three. That's what that guy says. We've been practicing this for three weeks.
He's full of crap. The guy, Drake's full of crap. They did not expect that to happen.
They celebrated like they won the Super Bowl.
All right. I love you, Wayne. You are so bouncing off the wall here, Wayne. I love you, buddy.
Tell me what you think happened. I like your opinion.
Well, no, I think what happened was the Patriots screwed up. They didn't have the right personnel, but it wasn't even the right personnel. The guys on the field didn't finish the.
Who was on the field?
Hold on a second, Wayne. Wayne, let me finish, Wayne. Like, right. Everyone's killing Belichick because he had Gronk out there. It should have never come down to Gronk. Drake, the Dolphins should have been stopped. That ball, that he should have been stopped at, like, the 30-yard line. It should never have come down.
I get my sneakers on. What happened from the 16 seconds on? Did they kick? I don't know. Right after I went, I went to put my – I thought it was over because it was, like, 16 seconds left. So did they kick the ball deep to them, like, and then carry it to the 25, or did they kick it? How did they do it?
So you went. So what's your move? You went and then got your. You were putting your shoes on. You were like, you. Why didn't you just turn the game off at that point, Wayne? Why didn't you?
I didn't want to turn it off. I leave it on. I leave it on. So when I go to the gym, I'll
have a couple. Right, you've been on for like 7. I gotta go, Wayne. But I love you, buddy. I'm a big fan. Wayne. Listen, here's my take on it. All right. Like, and Belichick's gonna get crucified. He has been crucified, and because of the Gronk thing. But if you replay that, and who hasn't seen it a million times, that final play, like the Patriots had an opportunity. There was very poor tackling, the tackling angle, and someone that played high school football back in the day, I know tackling angle. It's a bad job. There were like three or four guys that could have done a better job of closing the gap. Now, Drake did make a very athletic video game-like move, but he should have been stopped. I'm looking at it here at about the 30-yard line. And for it to come down to a one-on-one tackling drill between Gronk and Drake, that is a disaster. That is Armageddon. This is what that is. And it turned out to be Armageddon. So anyway, all right. So Ben Maller and you were hanging out here late night. Now, the X-ray, let me pay off the X-ray story, and we'll take some of these other phone calls as well. If you would like to join, there's a line open, 617-779-7937. Blame it on the X-ray. Now, I mentioned the Steelers are dealing with their own controversy while the Patriots have to deal with the fallout from what happened in Miami. The Patriots, they had a more embarrassing sin, or the Steelers rather, the Steelers lost to the Raiders. And Ben Roethlisberger came out of that game at halftime, and he was injured and all that. But then after the game, Mike Tomlin said, we could have put Roethlisberger back in, but we were in the flow of the game and the rhythm of the game, and so we didn't do it. Well, now Roethlisberger has come out on his radio show and said the reason that he did not get back into the game sooner was because of, wait for it, an outdated X-ray machine in Oakland, that it didn't work. And he claimed that because of that, the Steelers could not identify what injury Roethlisberger had, how bad the injury was, and therefore he couldn't get back into the game. So they're blaming it on the X-ray machine in Oakland. I smell a rat. And, of course, when you talk about the Raiders, you always smell a rat because they had a rat in the soda machine is what they had. Yikes. All right, it's Ben Maller and you. Time now for the Insta trivia. We're going to go to basketball because I ran out of football questions. So here's the basketball question. It's the Insta trivia. Heading in to Tuesday, and I don't think they're playing tonight, or they played earlier, Milwaukee Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo has a 1.19 3-point percentage, actually 11.9, rather, 11.9, 3-point percentage. In NBA history, blank is the only player over a full season with a worse 3-point percentage than the Greek Freak has this year. Again, heading into play on this Tuesday, the Milwaukee Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo, his 3-point percentage, the lowest in the NBA, and in NBA history, it is the lowest of any player over a full season with a 3-point percentage. Only one person was worse. We're looking for the name of that other player. Did you get all that? Yeah, I think you got all that. We'll give you the answer. We will get to that, and we will do it next. All right, back to it we go. Time now for the Insta trivia. And heading in to Tuesday, Milwaukee Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo. He has attempted 59 three-point shots. He's got the lowest shooting percentage among any regular in the NBA. And in NBA history, blank is the only player over a full season with a worse three-point shooting percentage than the Greek Freak has this year. That is the question. What is the answer? Tripp is going with Ben Simmons as the answer. Mr. Wonderful, who's beaten and broken and devastated because he's a pathetic Cavs fan, he's going with Kyrie Irving, but he says the coward Kyrie Irving. How dare you? Rob in Vegas checks in with Jackie Moon as his answer. Who else? Let's see. Page down. We have Buster Douglas was guest. Mike Tyson. Is there some documentary on tonight? Is that maybe is that being broadcast tonight, John? I don't know.
I believe it might be tonight.
Okay. Yeah, Buster Douglas and Mike Tyson. Nick is going with Jerry Stackhouse as his answer. John, do you have an answer?
You cannot ask me questions about basketball.
You're not a basketball guy? You don't have basketball.
No,
DNA.
I'm the football vault and a little bit of a decent amount of hockey, and then baseball a little bit just because I work here, not because I love baseball or anything. But basketball, I like to follow the I follow the culture around the game, but I don't actually watch the games.
Ah, okay. All right, well, fine. That's fine. You can sit this one out. Do you know who Jackie Moon is? You're familiar with Jackie Moon?
Yes, that's the Will Ferrell movie. What is it? Yeah. Thunder something?
Tropic Thunder. Tropic Thunder. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's one of the great basketball movies of all time.
Yeah, I've seen the movie. I know who Bow Wow is.
I understand. All right. Anyway, all right. So here it is. Again, heading into Tuesday, Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo. I just love saying that, John, because for the first 3 years of his career, I did not know how to say it. But now I know how
to say it. Once you can get it right, you start saying it a lot. Like, Obi Melifonwu has been getting a lot of coverage at this station last week, because I think the hosts finally figured out how to say his name, except for Christian.
Yeah, I still don't know how to say his name. But you're right. Once you cross the Rubicon and learn how to say Giannis Antetokounmpo, you sound so much smarter. You sound like you know a bunch about sports. Like you've moved up the pecking order of sports casting that you can say the name Giannis Antetokounmpo. You just want to keep repeating it. Anyway, the Milwaukee Bucks star, he's been terrible from three-point range. Blank is the only player over a full season with a worse three-point percentage. With more three-point attempts. The answer, who is it? Let's see. Is anyone, the correct answer, Dennis Johnson, DJ from back in the day with those old Celtic teams in the 1980s, the 86-87 Celtics. Dennis Johnson, the late, great Dennis Johnson, shot 7 of 62 from three-point range. And that was the Casey Jones Celtics. They won a bunch of games, lost to the Lakers in the NBA Finals that year. And it was still, the three-point shot was still mostly taboo, although Larry Bird and Danny Ainge made a bunch of three-pointers, as I remember. And I think that was pretty much it. Maybe like one other guy. But it was like two players and nobody else would even attempt them. Now you watch an NBA game and it is a shooting contest. It is open season. Line them up and knock them down. It's like a shooting gallery from three-point range. So the beautiful game, the wonderful game of basketball. I want to get back to baseball for a minute because the winter meetings and a whole lot of nothing's going on. There's a whole lot of chatter, which is what it's all about, right? It's all about the distraction, the diversion of the rumor, and it's a feeding frenzy. People throwing stuff out. If you are in the rumor-making business, this is your time. This is your time. Now, much of the speculation the last couple of weeks has been about Madison Bumgarner, Mad Bum, and that the Giants could trade him. Now, I fully endorse this. I did a whole Maller monologue. Was it last week that the Red Sox should trade for Madison Bumgarner? This guy is the greatest postseason pitcher in my lifetime. And it's not even close. And there were all these names being tossed out, teams like the Yankees, the Brewers, the Phillies, the Braves, that could be interested in Madison Bumgarner. And the Giants have a new GM, this guy, Farhan Zaidi, who used to be the Dodgers executive. Now they're saying, well, it's not likely. It's less likely that Mad Bum is going to be traded. I don't believe it. And I'll tell you why. Unless ownership interferes here, the Giants would have to break the bank because this guy's going to be a free agent. You talk about who's going to cash in and win the Powerball, win the Mega Millions in baseball next year. Mad Bums, he's 29 right now. He's had a couple of down years. The Giants have been unwatchable. And if the Giants just let him play out, all they would get is draft pick compensation. He's going to be a free agent next winter. And you know, there's a scenario. You look down the line, the Red Sox have Porcello and they've got a Sale who are both going to be free agents after the upcoming season. Would they let those guys go and make a run at Madison Bumgarner? Do something completely outside the box here and try to... I would. I mean, that guy is insane. It's also nuts. But we'll keep an eye on it. But the reports tonight are that the trade is not likely to happen. Of course, tomorrow, just wait like a few hours. It's like the weather in the Midwest. Just wait a couple hours, and that could absolutely change. Could absolutely change. It probably will change. You'd say so. All right. We are on Twitter, at Ben Miles. See what else we have here on Twitter. The tweets coming in fast and furious. A lot of these, though, I cannot read. Because they are inappropriate, which is shocking. I have not heard from Blair and May. People asking about Blair and May. We mentioned that earlier. Where were you? We've not heard from Blair and May. He did check in, we were told earlier, but he has not called in. It's a bad job by Blair. And
maybe
people,
we should just call him.
I don't have his number.
It's not in the system for some reason either. I don't know. I think it auto erases every time he calls.
Yeah, probably. And then I've also gotten people want to go back and want to talk more about Tim Neverett. I don't have much more to add. I don't know. Like people are, they have these different, I'm getting emails here. I'm checking my email, which by the way, I have my own email address. Thank God for that. The email address is benmaller@weei.com. Ben.maller. I think you have to put the dot in there. Ben.maller@weei.com. But producer John, I'm looking here and there are people say, well, where do you think Tim Neverett's going to go? I don't know. Some dope earlier said he was going to go to the Dodgers. I haven't heard that. I don't think he's going to go to the Dodgers.
Is that a lame attempt at like an Orsillo joke or something?
Well, wouldn't you say the Padres? Oh, the Padres have radio. Orsillo's doing TV for
the
Padres.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, it's Padres, yeah. But it's like Southern California. I guess.
How about the Angels? Why not the Angels? Throw them out. I just don't know what jobs are open. Like if I had a list of what radio jobs were open, I believe the Tigers have a job open because – remember their broadcasters last year got into a fight during a game, Mario and Pemba. The TV guy got into a fight with the color commentator, Rod Allen. They both got fired. So there's some openings in Detroit, but other than that, I don't know. But that's the news. Tim Neverett, if you missed it, he has announced on Twitter today that he's not going to be back as a Red Sox broadcaster. And so there's people asking questions about whether who's going to replace him. I don't think they know yet who's going to replace him. Certainly haven't told me if they do know. They have not filled me in on how that's all going to go down. All right, we will press on and we'll get into the state of the Celtics. That's right, I haven't talked about the Celtics much. We'll get into that and much more in the latest speculation, latest gossip out of Lost Wages, Nevada, where I'm assuming everyone's just enjoying themselves and there's no work getting done. There's just a lot of boozing it up and running up company expense accounts that is taking on a life of its own in Sin City. But we'll get to all that, and we will do it next.